the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There were laborers in the vineyard who were hired by the master of the house, some at 6 o'clock in the morning, others at 9 o'clock in the morning, others at noon, others at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, others at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. This is what Jesus sets before us to tell us what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, the kingdom of heaven is like this. God is merciful, and God gives to those whom he has saved his full measure of grace and mercy, forgiveness and salvation. It does not depend on how long one has been a believer in Christ. It does not depend on how long and faithfully one has served Christ's church. Does not matter. Those things do not matter at all. What counts is the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to elucidate this parable by saying this. There were those eager go-getters who were looking forward to getting a job and who showed up in the marketplace well before dawn, well before anyone else got there, because they wanted a job. They were ambitious. They wanted to provide for their family. They were responsible. And these were hired by the master of the house. If he needed more workers, the harvest was plentiful, abundant. So at 9 o'clock in the morning, he went back to the marketplace. And here was a second group of workers who showed up. Maybe they were bleary-eyed. Maybe they hadn't slept well at all. But these too were hired. Then he came at noon to the marketplace again, and lo, here was another group of workers. Maybe they had been sleeping off a drunk. Maybe they had been involved in all kinds of misdeeds the night before, all kinds of wickedness. But these too were hired. So again at 3 o'clock, so again at 5 o'clock in the evening, 1 hour before the day was ended, and the master of the house hired them all. And what he did when it came time to pay the workers their wages was to pay those hired last first. And they got the full denarius, the full day's wages. So those go-getters, those who were responsible, those who were dedicated workers, those who were ambitious thought, hey, we'll get more. We'll get more than what we agreed upon. So they eagerly lined up to get their wages, and the envelope was handed to them, and they opened the envelope, and lo and behold, there was a denarius in the envelope for them also. What? We've worked through the whole day. We've borne the heat of the day. We have sweat. We have gotten thirsty and hungry. And you give us only a denarius as compared to these other losers who couldn't even get here on time to be hired? Well, they grumbled against the master of the house, just as Israel grumbled against Moses and ultimately against the Lord in today's Old Testament reading. They thought the master of the house had treated them unfairly. They thought they had not gotten their just deserts. They thought since the master of the house had given these hired last a full denarius, that he owed them more. The master of the house did not see things that way. Maybe there was one who was particularly vociferous, particularly outspoken in his grumbling. Not grumbling like this, but grumbling like that. How can he do that? But at any rate, the master of the house replied to one of them, "Friend," and the friend there doesn't mean, "Hey, we're friends, we've got a good relationship." It's, "Hey, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me to take a denarius for a full day's work? Well, then take what belongs to you and get out of here if that's going to be your attitude. And hey, don't bother showing up tomorrow. I choose to give to this last worker, this one who maybe straggled in at 5:55 and picked up a few empty sacks and gathered them and collected them. I choose to give to him as I give to you. Are you saying I'm not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" Huh, friend? What is it? Do you have anything you want to say to me? Anything further? The master's generosity is the master's grace. The master did not have to go out into the marketplace to hire workers. He could have done it some other way. He did not have to hire these particular workers who showed up first early in the morning. He could have said, "You guys go on. I'll wait until 9 o'clock to hire someone." The master chose in his generosity to hire them all, and he chose in his generosity to pay them equally. And what he paid them was a gift. This is the way the kingdom of heaven works, Jesus is saying. You know, if you run a business and have employees, in that business whom you pay, I wouldn't advise you to run your business the way Jesus illustrates in this parable. But Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is radically different from the way things work in this world. Yes, the good worker gets a bonus. The good worker gets advancement. The good worker gets raises. And those who don't do so well, they may remain stuck in the same position for year upon year upon year. And when the company is downsizing, they're the first ones to go. But it's not that way in the kingdom of heaven. Because the kingdom of heaven operates by grace, not by merit. If you want to take Jesus' parable and reshape it to say what the kingdom of heaven is like, imagine us as workers hired to labor in the vineyard. And instead of working steadily all day, as we should, maybe we pull out our cell phones and start texting others. Maybe we get into a fight, a grape fight. Maybe we take clusters of grapes and rub them in a fellow worker's face. Maybe we waste a lot of time. And really, when you look at it, if that's what we are inside, we don't deserve anything. Don't think that God owes you anything, or you don't want what you have earned from him. The wages of sin is death, Scripture says. That's what you and I have earned. Eternal death, eternal separation from God, his wrath, his punishment. And if you want to insist on what you think God owes you, well, what you think God owes you is not what he really owes you. You don't want to open up your pay envelope and find in there what you really deserve, what you have really earned. In the kingdom of heaven, it is Jesus who does the work of salvation on behalf of a sinful human race. In the kingdom of heaven, it is Jesus who bears the burden and heat of the day as he suffers and dies on the cross. In the kingdom of heaven, it is Jesus who on the cross is not addressed by his heavenly Father as my dearly beloved Son. It is not Jesus on the cross who is told, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Jesus, rather, is treated as someone who deserves to be fired, deserves to be laid off. Jesus is treated as a worker who spent all of his time on the internet instead of doing his assigned tasks, instead of fulfilling the responsibilities of his job. Jesus is treated as someone who made sexual advances to a co-worker in his office, the sexual advances of the most gross and outrageous kind. And the penalty of firing is placed upon him. Luther says that on the cross, Jesus becomes, in effect, the adulterer because he bears the wages of the adulterer's sins. He is punished for the adulterer's sins. Jesus bears the guilt of your sins, your secret sins, the sins that everyone knows about because they have to live with you and they see those sins, and the sins that you would shudder for anyone to know about. Jesus takes our place under God's wrath. He works hard. He works faithfully. He works responsibly. And yet, he is treated for our sake as the worst kind of sinner. And it's all God's grace that it works out this way. It's all God's grace that Jesus willingly undertakes this. It's God's grace on our behalf, for certainly we, as sinners, were by nature last in the kingdom of heaven. But by God's grace, for the sake of Jesus, who is really first in the kingdom of heaven, but on the cross becomes last, we are welcomed into that kingdom, and we take first place in God's love and God's esteem. Indeed, God calls us his dear children in Christ on account of Jesus. And you haven't earned it. I haven't earned it. No matter how long you've been a member of this congregation, no matter how many positions you have filled in this church, and no matter how faithfully you fulfilled the responsibilities of that position, no matter if you're rich, no matter if you're poor, no matter if you're 5'1" or 6'6" tall, it does not matter, because what counts is Christ Jesus. His gospel is to be first in the church, so that you and I, by God's grace, through faith in Jesus, can be counted as first in his kingdom. The cross of Christ is a despised thing. Some people think the idea of God punishing his son for the sins of the world is a barbarous, unloving, scandalous thing. And indeed, Paul speaks of the scandal of the cross, the scandal of the gospel. Churches have forgotten the gospel because what they want to do, what their ministers want to do, is preach a life where we can have everything we want in this world. And they say God wants to give us everything that we want. These things are ours by right, but that is so very wrong. The cattle of 1,000 hills belong to the Lord, and he disposes of them as he will. But above all, what God wants to give you is his mercy and grace and forgiveness in Christ. And here it is. Here it is for you. Here it is because you were baptized. Here it is because the Holy Spirit has opened your ears to hear the Word of God and to take that Word of God to heart. The Holy Spirit has given you faith in Christ as your Savior, your Redeemer. The Holy Spirit has given you to believe that Jesus himself, in his very body and blood, is present for you in the sacrament of the altar today. If you want to talk about wages, well, let's think of those wages in this way. No, let's not. Let's call them gifts. The gift of salvation that you have not earned. The gift of the gospel, which you have not earned. The gift of forgiveness, which you have not earned. The gift and the privilege of receiving Jesus' body and blood, which you have not earned. The kingdom of God operates by grace, not by merit. So, don't begrudge God's generosity to your neighbor who may not have been a member of this congregation as long as you have. Don't begrudge God's generosity to someone who is poor, someone who may be viewed as of no account in the church, God forbid. Don't begrudge God's generosity. Remember what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as you have forgiven us. For that's the kingdom of heaven. That's the kingdom of God. Gift, not merit. Grace, not just deserts. God's love and God's compassion delivered to you so you can be first together with all Christians in the world, first in his esteem and his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.